Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to University Drive. I'm your host, Tamika Lundy, and we are in Season 9. I am very happy, supremely happy for this episode. This is a special episode because I am not the only host for this episode. Joining us for this episode of University Drive as the guest co-host is Mr. Renbert Mortimer II, my colleague at University of the Bahamas. Renbert, welcome and thank you so much for joining us. Renbert is the PR and brand specialist at University of the Bahamas. Thanks for co-hosting with me.
It is my pleasure and go Mingos.
Go Mingos, right. And we have two very special guests, esteemed guests, who are coaches at University of the Bahamas. We have the head coach for the UB Mingos track and field and cross country, Edna Roll, and we also have the head coach for UB soccer, Dion Gaudet. Gentlemen, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you, and it's good to be here. My pleasure.
Yeah. Yes, good to have you with us. And Mr. Gaudet, this is your second time, I believe, with us. I believe you were here before in an earlier season.
Yeah, popped up with Athletic Director Kim Roll to talk about where we were at the time. That seems so long ago.
And I know, Ren, you have been working with these two gentlemen doing UB Mingo's athletics work.
Yes, I'm happy to be here so I can tell some of the behind the scenes. The athletics program is very dynamic. It's early, it's late shifts, and it's a lot of hard work. So I'm hoping to bring a little flair to this episode.
It's incumbent upon me to share the mission of University of the Bahamas because I want that to help frame our discussion for this episode. The mission of UB is to advance and expand access to higher education, promote academic freedom, drive national development, and build character through teaching, learning, research, scholarship, and service. When I think of athletics, I can fit that under quite a number of components in the mission of University of the Bahamas. But before we delve specifically into that, I want to ask each of you, Edna and Dion, tell us about the path that led you to University of the Bahamas. Let's start with you, Edna.
I'm glad you asked that question. Track and field has been a part of my life since I was in primary school. Started out at Mabel Walker Primary School, where my coach at the time, my teacher at the time, did a runoff, and I think I was in grade four, maybe. And at the time, I was the fastest in the class. Mabel Walker was a small school. We went to one of the, I can remember, Ovaltine meets or one of the primary school meets. And I was the only one out of the team that actually medaled. I got second in the one, and I think maybe third in 200 meters. And, you know, since then, going through junior school, I stopped for a while and I came back and I was able to, you know, make national teams and get a scholarship, you know, and able to get a degree through athletic. And it's always been my passion, for sports, really. And, I was given an opportunity to assist at the university in 2016, and 2 years after was given an opportunity to, you know, spearhead the program. It's been successful. The pandemic has, hit us a bit, but now we're at the stage where we're now rebuilding. I'm actually rebuilding the program, just added additional cross country to the program, and thus far, it's going pretty well.
Mm-hmm. So an overachiever from Mabel Walker days. Look at that.
I want to highlight something. I don't want to jump over it. He's the first fully paid, full-time coach at the University of the Bahamas. I don't want you to jump over that fact.
No, we ain't jumping over that one. We coming back to that. We can start. We can pick up from there after Coach Dion and talks about what brought him to UB. So, Coach Gaudette, you and I were talking a little bit earlier. We were talking about 7 as the number of completion. Anyway, we can save that for later. But what brought you to University of the Bahamas?
I'd like to start off by saying that the University of the Bahamas, I'm an alumna. I'm actually a past alumna president. And a past alumna also brought me to the college in the sense of, that is, Coach Stephen Bellott. Stevie was the coach of the men's program prior to myself. And long story made short, Stevie's season had arrived and they needed to look elsewhere, and the program had started to frail a bit. And Stevie and I were heading out on national team duty. I've had the privilege and pleasure to be men's national team coach for soccer and also with the junior programs. And we were off on a U-17 boys World Cup qualifier to Suriname. And during the trip, Stevie kind of said, "Hey, what do you think about coaching, moving?" Because I was coaching in the youth development programming with Insurance Management Bears, and you know, spent quite a substantive time there. In fact, soccer coaching, this makes year 24 for me in terms of coaching soccer. And so he reached out and he basically said, "What about looking at the College of the Bahamas?" And I was like, "Let me think about it." And since we were together basically for, we were over in Suriname, we were together for, I think it was, we were basically for a week. And, you know, every time over dinner, I was like, "So you made a decision?" Like, anyway, "Steve, you know what?" Because I knew Kim otherwise. And I said, "You know what? I'll go and have a talk with Kim and see what's what." Kim and I got to talking, and you talk about service in the mission. I've always been a big believer that you can't complain about that which you don't seek to change. And so Kim and I started to have a conversation, and we're talking about young men. And, you know, the challenge that we have with young men in our community nowadays, especially those with some desire to have academia go along with the gender. So Kim and I talked, and it kind of dawned on me, I could make a small difference, you know. I could talk to a couple of these kids. I can impress upon them why an education or academics is important and how life change comes about. And then I got myself in trouble because I started to believe it. You know, the mouth says one thing and then, you know, you start to believe it and you start having this urgency inside that I got to do this.
The mouth speaks with the heart is full of.
and I got in trouble. I mean, when I say I got in trouble, Kim will tell you my opening words to the then fragments or remnants of the team was, "We can make football sexy." And I'm comfortable to say 7 years later, football sexy at the University of the Bahamas. Because it was a track school. And it was a basketball school. Soccer has its place now.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, soccer has its place. So that's how I got here.
And I don't want us to skip over the alum part because you're also married to an alum, if my memory serves me correctly.
That is absolutely correct. Yeah, we're UB, COB family, just to kind of dial back a bit. Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, where greatness begins, right?
There you go.
So let's switch gears a little bit. So let's go into athletics at University of the Bahamas. Athletics at UB has grown tremendously. It is a very important part of who we are as a university. And through athletics, it has made a very big impact on the lives of many young men and a lot of young women, right? We can look at athletics and see a number of successes straight across certain disciplines, right? Let's talk about track and field and cross country. It's been a very active year. When you look back at track and field on the one hand and at cross country on the other, what gives you hope? What makes you feel inspired looking back at what you've been able to accomplish, you and the teams?
You know, for me, it's the ultimate is getting these athletes to get a college degree, an opportunity to get a college degree through athletics, through their talents. It's not easy. If you know, sports requires a lot to be great, particularly in track and field and cross country. It demands a lot. Mm-hmm. And to be a student and to be a great athlete, it's oftentimes so overwhelming. So
it's like living two lives at once, right?
Yes, it is. You mm-hmm. know, it's one thing you could be an average student, but to be a student athlete is another. And, you know, it's all about managing these athletes, you know, teaching them to manage their time, you know, to get their schoolwork in, to get their practice sessions in, you know, and then, you know, of course, these young adults, they want their social life. So, you know, for me, the motivation is to see at the end of semester, they're maintaining their grades, they're improving, you know, and they're winning, or, you know, even just the fact that they can improve and maintain their grades, you know, it's an awesome feeling. And, you know, as we compete locally, that's fine. We may, you know, do well locally, but really we measure our success when we go internationally, when we compare up with the other collegiate teams. So when they're able to see that they're able to run with these Division I athletes and compete at the high level and to the ultimate, where we had Ken Mullings reach the ultimate of going to World Championship this year, you know, that is, I mean, beyond, you know, believable. So for me, that's what it is for me.
Mm-hmm. What does it take to rise to a level where a university can even compete outside of its country, like compete on an international level? What does that take in terms of commitment and effort and output on the part of the athlete and also the coaching that should be shaping and guiding that? What does that take? That takes a lot of effort.
Really, the main thing is really finance. It's really, you know, because you're traveling, you know, it's you have to feed these kids, you have to, you know, you have to make sure that they're getting the training, you know, you need facilities. You have the athletic trainers who have to deal with the injuries, to prevent injuries. So, you know, it demands a lot. And to get a student athlete, you know, no student athlete wants to come to a school where they're losing. You know, you want to be a champion, or you want to see yourself improve, or you could be a part of a team that is moving or, you know, being successful. So you always have to be one step ahead, you know, as I said, you know, we're rebuilding the track program. So, you know, I want to get it up back to the level where we could produce CARIFTA athletes, CARIFTA qualifiers, world championship qualifiers, and, you know, even ultimately Olympic qualifiers. And of course, the ultimate for me is when these athletes are able to achieve, you know, their degree and graduating, and, you know, to see that it's a great thing for me.
Mm-hmm. May I explore something I've seen at Nodu many times, but the gear shift. So I don't want to think, or anybody to think, that track is all about the individual, because one thing I've seen from Coach Adnell is when he has to train his relay teams, and then there's a shift, and a lot of his mechanisms I've seen, they borderline fall under leadership and mentorship. So I want to ask, when you have to deal with these teams, that is the relay teams, and then instantly switching and ride out to help Ken and Kendrick, what's going through your mind? Or maybe there's an aspiring coach who's listening in. What tips can you tell them about how do you handle that kind of thing?
It's basically, you know, again, I'm one who always plan. You know, these kids always come with these goals. I want to be a CARIFTA champion. I want to be a college champion. I want to be the world, you know, but you have to plan. You know, what are you doing to get these goals? You know, and the same discipline you put into your training rhythm is the same expected in your classroom because you have to pass those classes. So just the same discipline you put into your training and these goals, and you know, you have to put into your school. So you have to find that balance, you know. So for me, it's really, you know, teaching them to be disciplined and okay. planning, and then making sure that they stick with their plan. You know, so oftentimes they fall off, and I gotta, you know, I always have meetings with each athlete beside when I have my team, but I'm making sure that they're on their regimen and they're keeping with what they're supposed to.
Uh-huh. Coach Dion, I saw you nodding as Adno was talking. You can't tell me that being a coach is not like being a father.
I think the dictionary talks about similes and coaching, fatherhood, teaching, mm-hmm. or professorship. They're all in the same genre. Edno talks about obviously coming up and being inspired by a coach. And that's where it begins. Those athletes, whether track and field, soccer, softball, volleyball, you name it, basketball, they first discovered, I would like to suggest, a passion for the sport or a liking for the sport, but the passion didn't come out until they got with a coach, a mentor. And a lot of times, I can say this openly because I've actually adopted a young man into my household who I met at the soccer field. He's finished college in the U.S. In fact, I just picked him up from the airport yesterday. He's back and down for national team camp. But fatherhood, coaching, mentorship, they all go together, and it's a must. You can't separate because I'll use my brother Edna here. My days of the what I call the paddy wagon mm-hmm. Has stopped. But I can tell you true stories because I see his car, his van. You know, it's like the Adams family. Everybody's in the car.
Always in there,
and
right?
They come in from either cross country or they're coming to training yeah. or they're leaving. And, you know, coach car is full to the max. Mm-hmm. I would tell you a story where one morning I wasn't feeling well and my wife knew where I picked up a particular player from, and she was going into work early. And I said, Ree, do me a favor, pick up Richard. She picks up Richard, drops him to training because I had already sent the training ahead, talking with planning, you know, things already planned out. So, it is fatherhood. Mm-hmm. It is absolute fatherhood because some of these young men, and I just deal with young men at this time, some of them didn't have a dad. And a lot of the principles that you as the coach instill is what they carry forward. And I'm very pleased to say that in a very small way, I've had young men who've come through football who've been the valedictorian mm-hmm. at the university, same Richard young man. Richard humbled me because Richard, you talk about discipline and balance. Richard was studying biochem here. And he would go home. I mean, he would attend 95% of my training, okay, pick him up to come to training. And he was a night watchman at Tops. Mm-hmm. So whilst he was watching Tops, he was studying and what have you. And he was a peer tutor here. And he graduated with like just short of a 4.0. And well, like you said, a student athlete. I mean, this is somebody who has to be great in a number of realms. Mm-hmm. Was he an absolutely great footballer? No. Was he a great individual? Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is Duchelier.
Sorry?
Duchelier.
Yeah, Duchelier. Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. And so I'm very happy to. And then there was Marlon who came on later on. And more recently, I've had Collins. I can mess up his name.
Yeah. Actually, Marlon is an international student, right, from Jamaica.
Yeah, Marlon. Well, talking about it, if I may segue, and I'm not sure of the composition of the track team, but the soccer team actually does what the university says, or a university says, which is to bring the global leaders together. Mm-hmm. I can tell you on the team there are Bahamians, there are Jamaicans, there are Africans, Haitians, and in the past I've had a Filipino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I've been fulfilling the mandate, whether asked or by accident, of the university building the global village.
Yeah. Let's clear up something right now, sure. Coach Dion. Is it soccer or is it football?
It's football.
Oh, there it is.
Please,
there
educate us.
It's football.
Educate us.
We'll be back after.
It is football. And football started in the UK, the United Kingdom is where football started. Some actually say the Incas started football, mm-hmm. but it's established, or we call it association football, that is played and represented by 210 nations in the world. Why is that number important? The United Nations only has 195 nations to sit around the table. Football brings Iran and the U.S. together, and they play in a competitive, wholesome environment. Mm-hmm. Football has stopped wars, okay, if you go back and look at it. So it is football. The Americans would like to tell you it's soccer, but it's football because there is no American language. It's the English language. So it's football.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to just his coaching style just for one moment. So you spoke about a very, very good academic student, who, of course, may not have been the greatest soccer player, but I know one great soccer player who did have the academics but didn't have the discipline, I think, of Richard. I'm talking about Stuart Hannah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you could just fill us in on Stewie.
No, Stewie.
Our former SGA.
Board of Trustee member.
Yeah, no, Stewie had, so, you know, there are two ways I would like to suggest you become an athlete. There are those who are gifted, and there are those who had to work for it. Stu was gifted. Stu had the ability to get on a ball and do things with a football that was extremely creative. Mm-hmm. He was a top student, top leadership part, you know, and I'm glad to be associated with him. I couldn't get Stu to
hope
be
listening.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Because I have to write reports, and I always said to Stu, you know, this is a young man. I can't call him a kid because he's certainly a young man. Young man who could have been on national teams, but he just wasn't hungry. He was okay with being good. And so here is a challenge. And his mother and I even sat in the stands, and she says to me, Dion, I know what you've done. We even got the car for him. In case you don't know, I know he got his first car. We got the car so he could show up to training because we knew he had to show up to training. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we like the good coach here, you know, we bring in the sun up. And you could see pictures of us at raining and we training.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. But like I said, I will stand by this to say that I have been blessed over the past 7 years to work with a number of individuals from a multitude of backgrounds in diaspora. He talks about Stu. There was a very good basketball player, and Coach Barkas would say, I taught the basketball player discipline because on the basketball squad, talking with Justice Smith, he would try Barkas' patience. When he got to the football, he was like, buddy, you ain't the best here. And when I speak, act like God said and believe it. And let's get going.
Yeah, yeah.
And the best season that Justin had with basketball, he will tell you, was directly associated with the training that came from football. Because we work. We work, okay? I mean, we're understanding, going back to, I don't get many gifted players. So we have to go the next route. Hard work. Mm-hmm. And lots of it.
Understood. You're listening to University Drive. We're having a conversation about UB athletics, coaching, mentorship, and family. This is University Drive. We'll take our first break and be back after this.
One Bookstore is your back-to-school headquarters. We are proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our coffee center throughout the semester for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter 1 Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael Eldon Complex. Call us at 397-2650 or email us at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter 1 Bookstore. See you soon!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to University Drive. I'm your host, Tamika Lundy, and I'm joined by my guest co-host, Mr.
Lambert Marmar, a.k.a. Ran Gomingos.
All right, Gomingos. We're talking about UB Athletics, and we have with us Coach Edna Roll, and we also have Coach Dion Gadet. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of some things, Coach Dion. When you look back at the season or at the year, what are some of the things that stand out to you as markers of success for the program?
The first marker has to be what Coach Edna pronounced earlier, and that is the young men, or the young athletes, be it women or men, are in May walking and collecting a certificate that says, I have been disciplined enough for 4 years or thereabout to apply myself, and I've earned this. And I have earned it. Coach didn't give it to you. The professor didn't give it to you. You earned it. And, you know, there's a Maslowian type thing of actualization that has to be recognize there, whether you subscribe to it or not. So that's the first mark of success. How many people we meet along the roadway and we get them to the point of where they feel accomplished in their journey. The second is obviously the external branding that the university gets through athletics. Like I said, I'm an alumni. I knew it was just, you went to COB, whatever. Mm-hmm. And except for relationships and some people who you met and still in a relationship with, it's like, yeah, you know, athletics on the whole. And I have to give Kim Roll a lot of kudos for this, because I knew, you know, when some other athletic directors were here, they worked hard. But Kim really reached that to me, that peak of taking it external. And it went into the community like the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, the Ohio State, okay? We're the Mingos. And it has a branding out there that people want to be associated with. We can go into high schools and we say Mingos and they say go, okay? And, you know, that didn't happen, I want to say, 4 years ago. So we gave athletics a personality. And we drove it. And a part of that, going back to the success metrics or ticking the box, it came about and it was able to get sticky because we were winning. We were producing world-class track athletes. We were producing national team basketball players. We were producing national team soccer players. Julio Jameson in gold for the Bahamas beach soccer and men's team, and others. Denzel was on national team.
Handicap athletes.
Yeah. Michael, the first goalkeeper to score for
Michael,
beach soccer.
Yeah, Michael. What's Mike's last?
Just Mikey. He knows.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing is, that's the next one, and then I want to say the final one is, to me, is meeting these young men. As freshmen, telling them they've got all the freedom to do whatever they want to do, including fail, and getting them to understand that from this point on, it's not about mommy and daddy. And unlike high school where your teacher went looking for you, you have to become independent and accountable. Yeah. And you see it, maybe not the first semester, but you see it in year 2 and year 3 and they take on leadership roles, whether they join fraternities, whether they join student unions, the academics helping other soccer players and what have you. It becomes a family thing. And if you play for Coach D, I'm going to spill a little beans here. Coach Eden will understand this. We can be the academic team for the athletic department. We don't go second to nobody.
Mango award winning.
So that's what you sign on when you play for Coach D. You can be a good footballer, and you can be a really good academia, because we're student athletes first.
Mm-hmm. Coach Adnall, when I think about athletics, I think about it as an entryway into the university that is special and unique. When I look at you, I can remember the UB first cross-country meet that happened. Yeah. In 2022. And I looked at all of the young kids who are a part of that. And I felt good because I was like, wow, you know, this is great. I didn't know we had so many young children who were interested in, you know, who wanted to participate in cross country and who participated in cross country, you know. And, you know, they're not university age students, but I can just imagine that that is something memorable for them. Yes. And it could be a feeder for them ultimately wanting to aspire to be a UB Mingos or a UB student, right? So there's also that.
Yes, that was, having this cross country is one of my goals, you know, in my interview for the job. And, you know, of course the pandemic,
disrupted that.
You know, mm-hmm. But my thing was after we opened up to get back on, you know, bringing this cross country here at home, because I want to give Bahamians an opportunity, because, you know, ultimately, our next cross country we'll have other colleges now competing against us. So I have to make sure that my team is on point, because, you know, these kids want to go to the team, you know, where they're winning. So, you know, it was one of my goals, you know, to have a cross country meet that I that could continue on for years even after I'm gone, you know, to have colleges come and compete against each other, and at the same time see the talent we have here in the Bahamas, and for that young student athlete could see themselves improving next year and being a part of one of those schools, or, you know, getting an opportunity to showcase their talent and get a college degree. So, you know, I'm looking for it to, you know, to grow. We had almost 700 participants. Next year we're looking to, you know, to have about 6 colleges to come and compete against the university. And I won't have to beat up on the, you know.
I'm glad you talked about you beating up.
You know, we're looking for it to grow, and, you know, and eventually I'm also, you know, having a track meet at the same level, mm-hmm. where college is coming. So, you know, I think once we transition into NIA, it's going to really get real, where, you know, we have to now win conferences, you know, compete against all the NIA schools for nationals, and at least we're going to have to now meet qualifying standards, and, you know, we're going to really know where we stand when it comes to all the other schools. And I'm going to tell you this, I don't like to be to the bottom. I like to be
you're a winner.
Top. So, you know.
So I have two quick memories to bring back, right? The first is just to ask you a feeling, but we had an Olympian who participated in our first cross country. I want you to talk about that. But before we get there, just to kind of lighten the mood, because there's so much leadership in this room, right? There's one thing I saw for the first time at the last cross country. I saw Coach Edna for the first time ever be tired. Edna chose to run the 1, 2, and 3K in front of the children to lead them so they wouldn't get off the path.
Goals.
That's speaking to the leader that we have inside this room. So I want to ask, what was going through your mind as you literally raced at least 10K that day?
Well, I mean, you know, for me, part of the, you know, part of the course, I was using the go-kart, but there are some parts that the go-kart couldn't go.
Correct.
So when I reached that point, I had to, you know, run the course to ensure that the kids don't get lost. I have a solution for that next.
So you're not doing that again?
Yeah, I won't be doing that, you know, that
it was amazing. He was a superhero though. Like imagine the go-kart like, going, know, right? And then security is like, you want me to grab it? And he's like, not yet. But more seriously, so we had an Olympian running toe-to-toe with one of your top athletes at the cross country. Talk to what that mean for the program. Talk about what that meant for you to know that he would show, and I would let you say who it was, of course.
Of course, that was Ken Mullings.
Correction, two Olympians.
Yes. Ken Mullings would have made world championship this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do it home here at your university, your own, where, you know, I mean, most oftentimes when you think about elite athletes, they were off to school in the U.S. or they went to these big D1 schools. But to have a home grown right here at the University of the Bahamas is unbelievable, you know. And now you can have a behemoth and say that I can do it here at home because the proof is in the pudding.
And the golden boy. Come on, talk about the golden boy running.
Mr.
Miller.
My top cross country runner was able to be Ramon Miller, the 4K.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and for them, even before that, they was like, I said to them, listen to me, I don't care who you run down,
mm-hmm.
10 years ago, it's your time now. You know,
yeah.
You know they're going to be afraid when they see they're competing against mm-hmm. the Olympians, but you know, that's a part of it because, you know, you got to prepare them mentally because you can compare them physically, but if they're not mentally ready, all that work just goes out the window. He's in great shape. So to have, you know, the top cross-country runner in the Bahamas here and beating one of our Olympians was special. You know, and then I go back to Ken, who's at the university and was able to accomplish making world championship where he was, you know, seen on TV winning his 100 meters, seen on TV doing a personal best, and you know, and they're calling the Bahamas this new kid. You know, it was so surreal. You know, being there as a personal coach this year, you know, and I'm representing the University of the Bahamas. Every time this kid from the Bahamas, schooled at the University of the Bahamas, born mm-hmm. and raised in the Bahamas. So, you know, it's just. Sometimes I'm lost for words, but you know, you know, and again, it's having a plan and really, you know, putting forth this plan and then executing the plan and ensure that these athletes are doing what they, you know, supposed to do as far as, you know, maintaining their grades, coming to practice in the morning. Our practice is 5 in the morning because, you know, you got to get up early in the morning. So coming to class after practice, you know, going to the cafeteria in the morning after we had a 5 o'clock practice, you know, going to the cab, then you got to plan your day for classes, and you know, so it requires a lot, and to do all these things and to become a Carifta qualifier, a Carifta medalist, or now a world qualifier, you know, world finalist, is amazing to do it right here at the University of Bahamas, and I think. Now that, you know, student athletes can now say that I can do the same as Ken Mullings, as Kendrick Thompson, you know, all these other student athletes from soccer and basketball here in the Bahamas at the University of Bahamas.
And I think that what you said just now, that part of the narrative and the profile of University of the Bahamas needs to continue to be told and to resonate. The fact mm-hmm. that you can come to a national university right there within your reach and still have international experiences, still have international exposure, still receive world-class attention in terms of academic development and also in terms of athletic development and ability and mentorship and coaching and have access to things that are competitive, I think it deserves to be told a lot.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, especially when we think about our family islands and the breadth of talent that we have across the archipelago.
If I may lead into that, I was going to get into legacy If we could talk about one of our star athletes right now, Mr. Kendrick Thompson. I know his story, but I'm curious from a coach's perspective, how was it training and working with Kendrick as he, and I can say this with pride.
Ken the Androsian.
Kendrick, who finally beat Kenman. I had a, not to say I'm gambling, but I literally could have seen Kendrick was going to break Ken's record. Like every time he went to a meet and something would go wrong, he had this fire in him. But talk about working with him to get to that accolade of becoming a national record holder. And of course, the two would do this cat and mouse approach of who could break the record. But talk about that legacy from the family island using Kendrick. What does that mean for you?
You know, before coming to the university, and I taught and coached in the Family Island, Exuma.
Okay.
And you know, for the Family Islands, it's those athletes don't have the same facilities as the Grand Bahamians or, you know, here in Nassau, so it's harder for them. And, you know, Kendrick was always, he was always a multi-athlete, actually. But when we recruited him as a sprinter. So when he first came here, he was actually running the 1 and 2. And then I converted him over to the 400, where he would have made his first international team, senior team, for the men's 4x4, his first year here. And we moved Kend over to the decathlon because, you know, those two competed against each other. Kendrick actually is the Charifta octathlete record holder.
Ooh.
And the same year, Ken Mullings got third behind him at Charifta.
Wow.
Right? So history would say that Kendrick was always better or was more talented than Ken. But Ken was always the hard worker, discipline. I'm talking about his eating habits. He ensured that he's eating properly. He gets his rest. So when Ken started to have some success in decathlon, Kendrick said that he wanted to now go back to the decathlon. So I gave him the opportunity to come back. And of course, his first year, Ken was, you know, a lot better. They were always competitive, you know, it was always close. Ken would break the record, and Kendrick would come back and break his record, and Ken would come back. And, you know, so the same thing happened this year where Kendrick was finally broke Ken's decathlon record. And then he broke it again in Miami. Well, he would have broken it in Miami and then came back again and broke it in, I think, Daytona, one of those places. And Ken came back, won NACAC, was given an opportunity to go World Championship, and then broke his record again. So, you know, it's always been that way. They've been back and forth, you know, with breaking each other's record. But it's, again, it all comes down to them, both of them being disciplined. You know, to be an average athlete is one thing. To be a supreme athlete is another, but it requires a lot. It really requires a lot. And these two guys, you know, shown that they can be disciplined, they can put in the work, discipline themselves to ensure that they're about managing their time for school and their training, you know. And, you know, while you know how it is when you're young, when you're student athlete, you want to go to the parties, you want to go with your friends, then you have to decide, boy, I don't know if I can. You'll get to 2 o'clock in the morning, I practice 5 in the morning, then we travel next week. So, you know, it requires a lot of discipline.
Too focused, so, man. They're too focused.
You know, for me, that's what it is for them.
But, if,
you know,
if I can speak about the focus, so we're on a student retreat. The students are going out in Eleuthera to have fun. Mm-hmm. Kendrick wakes up in the morning, trains from 4 o'clock to 8. And literally says he ain't going on no retreat because of me coming up.
Yeah.
And I watched, like, as the bus leave, he was just like, I go into the room to sleep. And having a chance to travel with them in the early mornings when they're training and see their routines, whether it's just listening to music, these gentlemen zoom out and focus.
Yeah.
And mind you, it's not like relays or like a sporting team. Mm-hmm. It's only them. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about you're going against Penn State. They're going against Central Florida University. All these D1 schools, top athletes, and this year I just want to celebrate the legacy that this institute has in that when Ken and Kendrick were competing, some of the individuals from Miami years ago, and I have videos of them, years ago, who when they first step on, like, who this is, who Mingo is this? This year when they come, they were circling around Ken and Kendrick. They were like, but y'all here? And literally they went against another Olympian from America. And I don't want to say what it is because this is very emotional. But when he scratched in his top event, I'm talking about this is the thing that made sure he went to the Olympians. To the Olympics, sorry, in World Games. When he scratched because he couldn't clear his best event, I watched a man cry. And literally on his second attempt, he said to the coach, "Coach, listen, right now I set the breakup record for this country. And these two young men, they pushing me." And literally Ken and Kendrick said it. When he was eliminated, both of them, and I think Coach Edna called him out for it. He was like, "What happened to that fire y'all had?" He was like, "But he was pushing us because he was defeating them." Yeah. But every time he defeated them, they would be like, "I could beat him in high jump." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Ken PR'd in high jump because he know homeboy was going to kill it, destroy him in the pole vault. So watching that, and I'm telling this to everybody who's listening, as somebody who's had the opportunity to watch this for 6 years for the university, and I know Assistant Director Sean Bassia, and he's working on a program. We want you guys to travel with the program. We want you to be a part of this. We're working on a package where you can come and join the teams and celebrate with them. Because, like, hearing people from Andrus just so proud of Kendrick when he performed, the minister himself, shout out to him, came to meet Kendrick at the airport. That's how much pride we got about what's happening in track and field.
Yeah, just watch our social media. Yeah.
It's there.
It's there. You can see, to be a part of it. I mean, of course, it's one thing to, but then you can watch the social media and see, what these athletes do, what they go through, it's a once in a lifetime thing for most of them, to be a part of a university and compete for a university where, you have to be at a certain level. You have to be at a certain level to be a part of a collegiate team,
You're talking about commitment, and they chose greatness. So that's what I'm hearing. Coach Dion, do you have a strategy for tapping into the talent that is resident outside of New Providence but within the Family Islands? What's your strategy for that?
Actually, I can't say it's my strategy. It's part of our, I guess you'd almost
overall
say,
athletics.
Yeah, the overall composition of, being the University of the Bahamas, because again, the athletic director and also the assistant athletic director have always had a recruiting program into the Family Islands. Now, I will say at this time we are a bit more Grand Bahama centric because they do have active football programs there. And we are looking because one of, I would like to say, Coach Emeritus, one of the legacy coaches of the university and Bahamian football, Harvey Mullings, is now based in Eleuthera. Mm. And that's going to, and he's been talking to a couple of folks down there. So it's going to give us an opportunity, I should say the university, an opportunity to perhaps explore what's going to happen in Eleuthera. The local federation has also branched out and reached into Cat Island more recently, and Exumer. So the university being, my expression, progressive, as it has been thus far, will be going down that pathway. And I can't lay claim to say it's my strategy. It's, like I said, it's part of the university's KPIs, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And, whether it's, the great softballers normally come from Eleuthera. So I can see Shane reaching down into Eleuthera and, track people come from Grand Bahama and Edna's already reaching into Grand Bahama already. So, it's a part of the overall, and the same thing with volleyball. I know volleyball goes into Grand Bahama also. So it's not our strategy, but more so the overall universal positioning of the university to be the University of the Bahamas. So we eventually can say we've got athletes from San Sal, and we've got athletes from, Abaco, and we've got athletes from Rum Key.
Four from Jamaica and a soccer team.
Yeah, and we got, very, you know, proud. Obviously we have, because, you know, I mean, those of us who've had the opportunity to go off, you know, it is a melting pot. That's what a university is. Mm-hmm. It's bringing together people from all over the place. You know, I could teach you how to cook sauce. You could teach me how to do a roti. and somebody else could teach me how to convince me that's macaroni and cheese. You going, no, that's hot. That's craft. Yeah,
exactly. But what can we expect from soccer in 2023?
Soccer is actually off to a very, very positive start thus far. We came out the box 5-0. And then we had a bit of slippage. We lost two games to two formidable teams. We've recovered since then. We won last match out, and we're playing this Sunday coming up, and I expect that to be a win. So we should break at the midpoint of the season, basically in the second place. And that second place finishing will allow us to have the second seat going into the Hummel Cup when we return after the holidays. And the net result of that is that we get a bye into, because there are a couple of things going on with football. There's the regular season, then there's the Hummel Cup, which is separate and apart. So we've got two opportunities to take home two sets of silverware. There's also later on down in the year beach soccer, which the university has won before. So we've collected silverware in beach soccer. We've collected silverware in grass football also in the past. So we expect to have a very positive year. I don't see us finishing outside the top tier. And, you know, I would like to go out and say we can finish number one. That's what we're aiming at. But at the same time, we are going to finish up, you know, up in the upper echelon, so that persons will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that in terms of senior football in the country, the University of the Bahamas is one of the contenders in the top dog category.
Excellent. And Coach Ednell, I would say you don't get a break. I don't think track and field has much breaks this year round. But what can we expect in the year 2023 for the track, field, and cross-country program?
Well, cross-country is done. We're now transitioning into, of course, our track season, where we start our first local meet second week in January. I'm looking for three athletes who are junior athletes under 20, looking to, you know, Grifter's going to be home this year. So I'm looking for those three to qualify and do something great this year at home, representing the Bahamas team. Of course, our outdoor international season, our first meet, we're going to be going down to STU, St. Thomas University in Miami Gardens. You know, again, I have a pretty strong male team. We're building now the female team, so most of them are new. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they perform internationally. But I'm confident in the team. I'm very optimistic that, you know, we could get back to that level of where you had athletes making career to, you know, even up to, I may have a surprise this year to see that we may have one who has the ability to do something, and that's a female, at the, you know, world level. So, you know, that's going to be one of my,
awesome.
Yeah. Surprises, or no secret anymore, but yeah, that you can look forward to this year. So yeah, looking for a great season next year. We begin again second week in January. You know, again, these athletes have their goals, and I'm going to be
holding them to that.
I just want to give some headouts, right, yeah, to our social media pages. Follow us on TikTok. That's UB Mango's Life on TikTok. Of course, we're on social media. I'm proud to say I was brought here by the university to make sure we have a strong social media presence. Good following on IG, Mangoes242. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. Like, you name it, the university is there. And if you can just go back on that timeline and watch these videos, I am assuring you that you will understand the Bahamas is making a footprint in a mango shape throughout the world.
In a huge way.
Amen.
Gentlemen, Coach Dion, wrap up comments. You got 20 seconds.
Well, I'd like to say thank you very much. And I guess in my 20 seconds, I want to say that it has been an awesome 7 years. And you mentioned about completion because I'm on the final leg. After May, I will be stepping down. I've got an awesome set of replacement coaches in place in the persons of Alex Thompson and Adam Miller, and I actually believe they will carry the program to heights that I've yet to reach, and very proud of them, and they're energetic millennials to move this program, and you know they have the spirit, the understanding, and the vision of where Mingos should be going, especially as we go into the NAIA competition. So thank you again, and it's been an awesome, awesome opportunity to life change.
Mm-hmm. You're passing the football of leadership. And you, Coach Edno?
Yes.
Thank you for your service, by the way, Coach Dion.
Yes,
thank you.
You've done an awesome job seeing you put in the work, and, people like yourself are hard to replace, but passing the baton is something I see, you won't regret. Guys, I see those guys out there and there. Now they're at the sports center we got, and they got the whole field, and you got your drills, and so I think you're putting it in good hands, and I wish you well in your endeavors.
Thank you, bro.
You will always be a Mingo.
Absolutely. Go Mingos.
You'll always be a Mingo. So I wish you well.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us for this episode of University Drive. This has been a fun one. Athletics is near and dear to me. I also am a University of the Bahamas alum. I always say that every chance I get on this program. So I want to thank you. Thank you, Renbert, for joining us here as a guest co-host on University Drive. Thank you, Coach Dion. Thank you, Coach Edno, so much. And thank you to our listeners for being here and spending this hour with us. This is University Drive. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media pages, Instagram, YouTube, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, and we're on TikTok as well. And also stay connected by checking out our website, www.ub.edu.bs. I've been your host, Tamika Lundy, and this has been University Drive.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations and the Communications and Creative Arts Academic Unit at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.